Beloved, we are glad to have you join us for this sermon. We pray that it inspires you, draws you closer to the knowledge of God, and builds your faith. Be blessed as you listen.
In Jesus' mighty name we have worshiped. I want you to go before God, and thank Him in anticipation for your encounter this morning. Thank God in advance. Thank God in advance for your encounter this morning. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. For what you have done, you have confirmed your word in the past. New things you declare. As you do for us in this service, thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Somebody believe God, say loud, amen. As they went forth preaching the word, Mark 16:20, the Lord was confirming the word with signs and wonders following. Somebody say, confirming the word. It is what we preach that God confirms. Today is our covenant day of favor. Somebody say, Lord Jesus, glad that you can, Lord Jesus, send my word of favor today. Louder you can, Lord Jesus, send my word of favor today. Lift up your voice and pray that prayer in a moment. Send my word of favor today. It is the word that is preached that God confirms. Lord, send the word of favor today. Send the word of favor today. Let misfortune be turned to fortune. Send your word of favor today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are free. Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst and all the great things that you have done. Thank you again for giving us a proof of your presence, for unusual confirmation of your word. We say thank you. Thank you for bringing us to this covenant day of favor. Thank you because it will answer in every life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, please let may fortune be turned to fortune. By the anointing today, let the yokes be broken. Give everyone an encounter that we will not forget in an hurry. We give you the glory and the honor for what you are said to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You can say louder, amen. Please give Jesus a big hand of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Praise God, 2026, my year of open doors, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God, 2026, my year of open doors, in the name of Jesus Christ. Supernatural doors. As I hold fast to the word and keep making my boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. Gateways to financial fortune, part 3. We began this series 2 weeks ago. Today we are in part 3. As we run through even to the end of the month, just about one more Sunday to go. And I'm very sure that God's package of blessing, particularly as it relates to financial fortune, will be our experience going forward. In Jesus' mighty name. I want to start again this second service by letting you know that God has an agenda of financial fortune for his people. God
has an agenda of financial fortune for his people. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, he said, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Hallelujah. In that day. So there is a day of the making of the jewels in the kingdom. In Haggai chapter 2 verse 8, he said, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine." In verse 9, he said, "For the glory of the latter shall be greater than what? Shall be greater than what? Shall be greater than what?" So your best days are not behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. Amen. No matter what you have seen, God still has an agenda of the best for the future. But how do we get there? How do we enjoy these days of financial fortune? Remember, the opposite of fortune is misfortune. In Jesus' name, you shall not be in the place of misfortune. Amen. So when you hear said, it's unfortunate, that is not the portion of a child of God. How do we get there? Deuteronomy 8:18. He said, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is him that giveth thee the power to get wealth." Somebody say the power. "That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to thy father as it is today." You shall remember. That simply means at a point they forgot God. If you look at verse 17, you can see where the problem lied. "And they said in their heart, my power and my might has gotten me this wealth." They forgot that it was God that brought them into it. Are you catching that now? They forgot that it was God that helped them into it. Whatever you and me will be can only be by God. Whatever we are today is also by God. Hallelujah. They left the source and they started chasing the resources. The source is God. They lose focus from God and they started chasing the resources. The resources is the gold. The source is the God. The silver and the gold is mine. So wisdom demands that when I want the gold, I go for the God. Because when I get the God, I will get what? I will get the gold. When I get the God, I will get the gold. If I chase the gold, I am chasing something that may never end. Are you catching that right now? I pray that the Lord will grant every one of us wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. And the louder you can say wisdom. Proverbs 23:4. "Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Cease from your own expertise." In this kingdom, it's not by expertise. It's not by achievement. It's by empowerment. We are all product of his grace. Labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. So, Pastor, if I'm not meant to labor to be rich, what should I labor for? Labor to be blessed.
Labor to be what? Labor to be what?
I show you a better way. Labor to be blessed. Because when you are blessed, you'll be enriched. Proverbs 10:22. For the blessings of the Lord make it rich. Labor to be blessed. Because when you are blessed, you'll be enriched. Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot serve two masters. You either despise one or you go for another. He said, for you cannot serve God and mammon. Please come awake. Please come awake. Please come awake. It's better to get it right now. Otherwise, you are in a journey of unnecessary frustration. Unnecessary frustration. Somebody say, God forbid. Louder, you can say, God forbid. When I chase after his blessing maketh me to be rich. And it will not add sorrow to it. Because whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Every good and perfect gift comes from what? Comes from above. Every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. I see that gift coming your way. So what are we learning in the course of this month? A passionate pursuit of God and the interest of his kingdom is the key to a world of supernatural abundance. Is the key. Passionate pursuit of God and the interest of his kingdom. Matthew 6:33. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God. Don't seek money. Don't seek materialism. Material things. Money cannot give you happiness, in case you are not aware. Money cannot give you peace. Money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you sleep. Are you with me? Money may buy you insurance, but it can't save you from the accident. The insurance is to cover you after the accident. True of us? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What God is teaching us is to know who to go for. Job 36:11. He said, if they obey and they serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity. And that prosperity talks about supernatural abundance and their years in pleasure. Somebody say, I hear. The Lord will deliver you from the pressures of life. So what do we learn? We have learned God only entrusts his riches to those that he can trust. God will only entrust his riches to those that he can trust. He is looking at them. So, listen to me. God is looking for kingdom trustees, channels. Men who will promote the kingdom with his wealth. Please let me tell your neighbor that we are not achievers. We are receivers. Are you afraid of your neighbor? Talk to them. Say, we are not achievers. We are receivers. And the one who gave us. Tell your neighbor, the one who gave us. We are accountable to him. Please, we are stewards. We are stewards of his resources. Luke 16:11. If therefore you are not being unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to your trust the true riches? Trust. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? Can God trust you? God is not looking for containers. He's looking for channels. God is not looking for accumulators. He's looking for distributors. God is not looking for others. God is looking for people who can hard. The question is, are you one? Until we pass this test, we are not a candidate for kingdom financial blessing. In 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. Oh, my hand. Oh, my expertise. Oh, my this. Did you hear the testimony? She said, so I will go on my knee. I will lift up my hand so that they will even know in the test center that it was not me. It was only your favor. That you did it for the first time and you had no fault. Thank you, Jesus. The expert said, it's not possible. He said, let me tell you and show you what my God can do. And did God do it? God will never leave his own. I said, God will never leave his own. The same way God will not leave you. Now listen, if you will not take the glory, my hand, that they do not high-minded. They are not high-minded. Verse 17. Or trust in their riches. They should put their trust in the Lord and not the resources. They should put their trust but in the living God who give it. Somebody say, give it. Like God will begin to give you from this week. Please, am I speaking to a believer in the house? I said, like God will begin to give you from this week. Now listen to me. If God can check your heart is right, you are a candidate. The challenge is that many of us, our heart is betraying us. He's betraying us. Is it in your heart to be a contributor, a facilitator, a channel of blessing? Then God will put it in your hand. Oh, Lord, bless me. No, it doesn't work that way. It checks your heart. It checks your heart. May we receive grace to keep passing the test. What is the covenant? Is a deal enacted by God based on well-defined terms, sealed with an oath. Sealed with an oath. Remember that Deuteronomy 8:18, that they will remember the covenant that I swore unto your father. It's a deal. The covenant is a term. It's clear. The covenant is his word. You follow what he says, then you are a candidate. Genesis 8:22, as long as this earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. 2 Corinthians 9:6, he said, as he admonished us, the Corinthian church, this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall also what? Reap bountifully. So listen to me. Don't question your harvest. Question your seed. Because your harvest is directly proportional to the seed you sow. Are you catching that now? If you sow bountifully, how did he say you will reap? If you sow sparingly, how did he say you will reap? So stop blaming the harvest. Blame the seed you sow. Verse 7, as we push forward in that scripture, thank you, Father. Every man. Somebody say every man. So listen to me. This commandment is for everyone. Oh, but pastor, even God know I don't have. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. There is no one on earth that does not have. One day, Kenneth Copeland said, he came to church and he saw that he didn't have an offering. Oh, Lord, I don't have an offering. and something said, "Your suit." And he looked at the suit and looked at the button and took out the button and made it his offering. Many of you know Kenneth Copeland today. That man has given over 50 jets. Not Castle. 50 jets as gift. Over. Jets. You know what jet means? Help me ask somebody. You know what is jet? Not jet washer. But at one point, the offering was a button of a suit. Lord, I can't come to your presence empty. Not after you have had bacon, you have had egg, you had bread. Put all of those breakfasts, that's almost 10 pounds. And then you come before the God who gave you the food. And you say, "Lord, I don't have anything." You're only reporting yourself to God. That, "Lord, I'm wicked. You gave me, but I'm not thinking about you. I'm only thinking about myself. You know, if I don't eat, I can't come to church." Hallelujah. I see grace being released. Somebody say, "Lord, give me grace." Now listen to me. Now listen to me, people. Listen to me. Because I'm talking now, somebody is arguing in his mind. You get me? It's just because I don't want to call your name. You see, when it comes to this issue, listen, he said, according to his covenant, God is not moved by your tears, though. He's moved by his what? His covenant, his word. His covenant is his word. If you are not a if you are not a covenant practitioner, you are not a candidate for his blessings. No matter how you feel, no matter the position you are, the widow's mite knew this thing, and she knew that the last can only be for God. It can't be for me. Jesus sat there and was looking at what they were doing in the synagogue and said, "This woman did the best." They said, "What do you mean?" He said, "This woman gave her last." She saw it as her last, and she did not keep it to herself. She put me first. As far as heaven is concerned, she has given the best. Do you see how God works? So it's not the quantity. It's the value. It's the heart. Listen to me. The heart of giving is what makes a giver. Huh? Have you not seen people who have money and they don't give? Have you seen anyone? I may have seen them all. I've seen them plenty. There are people who are just... should I use the word supernaturally stingy? If there's anything like that. Wickedly stingy. I was mentioning it here it's not a testimony, of something we had of a generation of a man who used to be very wealthy. He wants to give people money. He would tie it in the neck of his bulldogs and say, "If you can catch my bulldogs, you can get the money." And people will go after the bulldogs those days. And you can imagine, bad dogs. They will bite people and all of that. Some people will collect the money. But as they collect the money, they issue a curse. Just to get money from you, you made me go through this pain. Your own generation. If you don't want to help, don't help. But don't be the source of people's tears. Because God will come after you. God will come after you. Say with me, "I must be trusted before I can be entrusted." Point to yourself again. Say, "I must be trusted." God must trust me before he can entrust his abundance in my life, because he will come and check what I am doing with what he has given me. Say a louder amen. Amen. So where do we begin from? Tithing is the beginning. And you notice every month we are making this emphasis. Because listen, if you don't start from the beginning, you are still wrong. You are still wrong. You are still wrong. You have to always do the beginning. Malachi 3, verse 8 to 10, he said, you have robbed me. They say, where did we rob you? He said, you robbed me in tithe. You notice, he didn't say offering first. He said tithe first. Tithe you robbed. Offering also. Because it's possible to also do that. Verse next. You are cursed with a curse. Somebody say, God forbid. Do you know what a curse means? We treated that last week. It's a stop. It's a limit. It's a spell. A spell of destruction placed upon a person. God forbid. So you are a Christian. You are walking, but things are not working. Why? Get back to where you fell. Even this old nation, verse 10, it said, now bring all. Bring all. And what did he call it? The tithe. Into where? My storehouse. That there may be meat in my house. And prove me now with, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you. The windows of what? So the tithe open our windows. If the windows are not open, how can the blessing come? And the blessings of the Lord is what makes. Can you now see why the riches are not there? Because the blessing is not come. And have you noticed? Please look at that scripture. I've told you many times. I keep saying again. You cannot finish blessing. You may finish money, but you can't finish blessing. That's why blessing and money are not the same thing. When I'm saying blessing, don't look at your car. Don't look at the money in your bank. No. Blessing is not physical. Blessing means empowered to prosper. That's what blessing means. Empowered to prosper. So when you go to NHS, you become a prosperous NHS official. You are in the banking sector, you become a prosperous finance person. Anything you do, you prosper. Blessing has nothing to do with money. But you cannot be blessed and not have plenty of money. It's different. Blessing does not mean materialism. But you cannot be blessed and lack those things. I will pour you out a blessing. A blessing. Put that on the screen. A blessing. Somebody say a blessing. Somebody say a blessing. Somebody say a blessing. What does that mean? One. And that there shall not be room enough. No one man can finish one blessing. Let me humble you. You think you are blessed. You are not. No one man can finish one blessing. This blessing, your children, 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 children will still be drawing from it. That's why you talk about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of what? That's why you talk about the colony of the Israelites on the earth today. Why? Because God swore a blessing upon one man, Abraham. And that colony, you may hate them or you can't do anything about them. You may hate the Israelites for all you care, but you cannot do anything because a blessed man is blessed. May this blessing come on you. May this blessing come on you. May this blessing come on you. I didn't hear you say, may this blessing come on you. That's why we labor to be blessed. Because when we are blessed, we are enriched. Somebody say, I hear. Leviticus 27, 30. All the tithe of the land are the Lord's. So we don't give tithe, we pay it. Somebody say, pay. Somebody say, pay. Somebody say, pay. Somebody say, pay. Matthew 23, 23. Matthew 23, 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithes. Anytime you see tithe mentioned in the Bible, you always use the word pay. You don't give your tax, you pay your tax. Are we making sense now? So you can't come to church and say, oh, praise the Lord, I paid my tax. Even you to know, if you have your way, you want to avoid the tax, true of us.
But don't avoid this one. He said, this ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So who told you Jesus said we should not do it? He said, this ought, ye ought to have done. So he's simply saying, pay attention to this, practice this, and practice others. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7 and verse 8. He said, here, men that dies receive tithe, but there, he receiveth them of whom it is weakness that they what? He liveth. So when you are doing it in church, he said, men receive it, but don't look at that. Those men are just a symbol. I am in heaven. I'm taking account as you are doing it. I'm taking account in heaven that I gave you 100 and you brought the 10. I will take account of it and watch how I release my blessing. Because when God take record, he must also give reward. Your life will never be stranded. Somebody say, believe in amen. I hope you are happy to hear these things. Abraham, the father of all blessing, Genesis 14, 19 to 20, was a tither. Follow those who through faith and patience has obtained the promise. Genesis 14, 19, you see that verse 20, Abraham paid the tithe of all. So, we are following the steps of who? Of Abraham. Somebody say, follow the step of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. We follow the steps. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Somebody say all. Louder you can say all. John 8:39. Everybody read together with me. It's on the screen. One, two, go. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works. So don't sit down there and say, Abraham blesses am I. Are you a tither? Can you see that? Because we can sit down and be claiming and claiming blessing. But we need to find out what they do. Somebody say, I receive grace. The louder you can say, I receive grace. What else? Giving to the needy is a gateway to a world of favor. Somebody say favor. Louder you can, please. Giving to the needy. Proverbs 28, 27. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack. Can you see that? Liberality. Somebody say liberality. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. See, let me say this to you. A lot of us, it's not that Satan is the one that cursed us. We actually cursed ourselves by our disobedience to the word. The Bible says when you see a needy person and you can support them, but you close your eyes as if you did not, it's there in the Bible. He said you will have a curse. Church people, let's do what the word says. Let's not complain. Let's not murmur. Let's not say, well, God knows my situation. God knows our situation. That's why he's giving us a way out of that situation. If you give to the needy, he said, you shall not lack. Somebody say, I receive grace. Another scripture, Proverbs 19, 17. He said, he that have pity on the poor, lendeth to the Lord. And that which he giveth will be what? Paid him again. Somebody say again. Somebody say again. Somebody say again. Somebody say again. Question, who will pay you? Who will pay you? Who will pay you? Talk to me, Joe. Who will pay you? Who will pay you? Who will pay you?
That is the reason why the Bible says we should not trust in man. Particularly those of you who, in quotes, the reason you are giving the man is because you are expecting favor from him. God will forgive you. So it's not genuine. You are tying the thing to something you want to get from the man. No. He said, God will pay you. And you know one thing I've learned about God? When God wants to pay you, even the man may not like you, he will still pay you. When God wants to pay you, he can use anything. He can use anything, sir. So stop looking at people. That's a limit. Look at God. He's unlimited. At a point in the Bible, he used a bed to feed a human being. What a paradox. A bed. At a time, he used a widow to feed a prophet. Get down to Zarephath. I've commanded the widow to feed you there. God can pay you anyhow. At a point in time, they wanted to arrest Jesus to pay his tax. Jesus told his disciples, go to the sea, catch the first fish, open the mouth of the fish. You will see money inside it. God can pay you anywhere. Stop looking at system. That's why your work is not your source. Your job is not your source. So even if they say, sorry, you don't have your job anymore, don't cry. Because your God can still link you to something that is bigger than that place. If you are smart enough, you will know that the NHS is not your source. I don't care whether you have investment in right there, they are still not your source. They may be a channel, but they are not your source. God is your source. God is your source. Somebody say, God is my source. Louder, you can say, God is my source. And it will be my source for life. Let's read this one. Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. As a result of giving to the poor. Blessed is the man that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him. In what? Do you know that you can have money and in time of trouble, you are still in trouble? I'm pleading with you, church people. God is showing us the best way. You know, there are some of you, because you have plenty of money in your account, you are relaxed. I'm not saying you should not be relaxed. One sickness can wipe away all that money. One. God forbid. When Steve Jobs, how many of you know Steve Jobs? If you know Steve Jobs, say, I know him. Talk to me, church. Do you know Steve Jobs? Who is Steve Jobs, please? The founder of who? Now, I'm not trying to, you get it, but not to say anything. But when he was going to die, one of the statements Steve Jobs said, he said, life is a paradox. He said, life is funny. That you can have all the money. You know, by the time he was still alive, he was one of the most richest men in the world. That you can have all the money and yet you cannot save your life. In other words, he's saying, I have money to pay all doctors, but no doctor can save me from cancer. But guess what? Can God not save him from cancer? That's what we are saying. He will save you in the days of trouble. When you put your billion down and your billion can't save your soul. You wake up and understand that it's more than the money. When you take care of the poor, you are securing yourself in the days of trouble. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? In the days of trouble, may you always have the right help. Get back to that scripture, verse 2, please. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 2. Everybody read, one to go. The Lord will preserve him. The Lord will keep him alive. He shall what? Be blessed upon the earth. And thou will not deliver him to the will of his enemy. Shame to my 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 enemy. They may not like me, but there's nothing they can do about me. Why?
I have taken care of the poor, God will take care of me. Even if they gather, nothing they do will reach me.
People of God, you can secure your destiny through these covenant platforms. You can. You can. Somebody say, I receive grace. Hallelujah. I want to share with you this I came across. His name is called John D. Rockefeller, the testimony of the tithes. John D. Rockefeller is the first American billionaire. Somebody say first. And he was a Christian, and he was a die-hard tither. According to this article, he said, yes, I tithe. And I would like to tell you how it all came about. I had to begin work at a small boy to help to support my mother. My first wage, among every other thing, amounted to $1.50. What was his first pay? And he said, the first week after I went to work, I took the $1.50 home to my mother, and she held the money in her lap and explained to me that she would be happy if I would give a tenth of it to the Lord. Please help me clap on for good mothers. You know, there are some parents, thank you for the money. Let's go and buy milk. She said to that guy in a poor state, I will be happy if you can give a tenth of your $1.50. Please help me tap your neighbor. You are not poor. You are not poor. You are not poor. You are not poor. You always have something. That's how he began. The first American billionaire. He said, I did. And from that week until this day, I have tithed every dollar God has entrusted. Can you see, when you see real rich men, they know that it's not by their hand. He said, I have tithed every dollar God has entrusted to my hand. I'm reading from his article, from his book. He said, and I want to say, if I had not tithed the first dollar I made, I would not have tithed the first $1 million. Can you see how it works? You are saying, God, give me $1,000. God gave you first £10. If you can't do for £10, you won't do for $1,000. No. That's the truth. That's how human heart is. If you are not faithful in the little, will you be faithful in the much? I'm reading. Tell your readers to train their children to tithe, and they will grow up to be a faithful stewards of the Lord. As of the time this man was dying, it was said that he has given $140 million to his church educational charity funds. Charity. What is charity? Taking care of the needy. In other words, I give you this $140 million, put it in your trust. No child must stay home. Every one of them must go to school. If they need school fees, sort it out. If they need back, sort it out. If they need anything, sort it out. And in case you need more, get back to me. First American billionaire. Many of you remember of the Titanic ship? Two of us? Do you remember the Titanic ship? Do you remember, please? Do you remember? Wave your hand if you remember. Do you remember the Titanic ship? He was approached that time, the first time, to go and insure that Titanic ship. All his business people came together, his business partners. Rock, this is one of the biggest deals in the world, the biggest ship in the world. Man, we are hitting it big. As usual, give me time, I want to go and pray. It took time, went on a 3 days prayer and fasting, and went to seek the Lord. Can I beg us businessmen and women, God is your CEO. Don't be posing as, you know, I'm the CEO. Immediately the deal come. Let's sign. No. Let's sign. They say if we don't sign, we'll lose the deal. Lost the deal. Would it not be better for you to lose the deal than to lose the business? You think God does not guide his people? I'm coming to there. This man never felt any ease. At the third day when his partners came, he said, you know what? I don't feel ease. I'm not going to do this business. They said, well, Rock, if you are not doing it, we have made up our mind, we are going in it. So, we are doing without you. He said, let it be. They went to insure the ship. The ship went on the first journey and never came back. He will deliver you in the days of. He will deliver you in the days of. Can you see how the tithe work? Because sometimes some of you think it's money. But God saw that a business crunch is about to happen. And he held him. My son, you are too of a tither. I cannot let you die. I can't let you put your business in this nonsense. Israel had it that all the company that went into that insurance, they never survived that financial crunch. A lot of them folded up. Today, John D. Rockefeller, a renowned name. I share with you another one. Living legend is called David Green. Somebody say David Green. Please, you can write the name and go and do your research on them and say, Pastor spoke about these people. Who is David Green? David Green is said to be one of the greatest gospel benefactors who is worth over $5.2 billion. He started in 1972 with $600, his first business. He's known to be the owner of Hoppy Lobby Store, the Articraft. You can check that out. It's all out there. Americans are very familiar with this guy. Look at what he said. The father told him that 90% with God is better than 100% without God. Please, I want to plead, parent. Can you teach your children how to put God first place in their financial life? These people keep calling on their parent. Rock said, my mother. Now David Green said, my father. His company today don't open on Sundays. Why? They asked him. He said, because all our employees have been given the time to go and worship God and to have time for their family. Somebody say, worship God. So, you see, so this resource that is not making you come to church is a disaster. It's a disaster. People are in billions and they are talking about taking a day and even telling their staff the Hoppy Lobby store don't open on Sundays in America. Anywhere they are in the world. Shut down. Putting God first. Thank you, Father. Hear this. He has planned to give 90% of all his worth to charity when he dies. How many percent? 90. To charity. That means his children can never finish the 10. Somebody say, I receive grace. I want you to lift up your hands wherever you are. Lord, give me grace so that you can trust me. Give me the grace to be entrusted. Let me keep passing the trust test. I need it. Pray for yourself. Because it's a race of individuality. Some of us fail God sometime, but we can make it amend even from today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Next, how does God bless us? Last week we touched on why God bless. But let me run it through
When you are in these things, you are practicing, how will God bless you? What should you be looking out for? Number one, God will bless you through his divine direction, as he did in the case of Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. The Bible told us that God told him to get out of his father's land to the land that he will show him. God directed him to the land of his blessing. Genesis 13 and verse 2. And Abraham was reached in silver and in gold. Somebody say direction. Like I said, should I insure the sheep? He said, no. God said, don't go, my son. Don't go, my son. And stay there. And will not be a part of the deal. So please pay attention to divine direction. Don't be the CEO, ultimate CEO. Even though you are the CEO, get back to God. Lord, what are you saying concerning this deal? Isaiah 48, 17. I am the Lord your God. I teach you to profit, and I lead you in the way that you should go. How does God bless? Number two, through the work of our hands. When God wants to bless a man, he looks for what he or she is doing. As we saw in the case of Isaac, Genesis 26, verse 1, verse 12. Isaac sowed in the land. Isaac was a sower. He was a farmer. He was involved in farming. And increased hundredfold. Verse 14. And he became so blessed, full of prosperity, full of possession, that the people began to envy him. Somebody say, the work of my hand. The work of your hand is going to be blessed. I said, the work of your hand is going to be blessed. I said, the work of your hand is going to be blessed. I said, the work of your hand is going to be blessed. I said, the work of your hand is going to be blessed. Deuteronomy 28 and verse number 12. Deuteronomy 28 verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good pleasure, the heaven to give the rain in the land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. So if you are not working, what will God bless? So please don't be settled. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. If you don't have work now, find something to do. Listen to me. Don't just do what you like. Do what you find. And very soon, what you like will find you. Do what you find. When I came into this country as a young man, work will not find me. I find work. Oh. I find work. By privilege, my father came in as ambassadors, you know, of the country. And I'm in my own country, and was working in the embassy, and we were living in a very big place. But even me too, I know that I am not big. So I took myself, I took my brother, we went to all the neighbors. Excuse me, just to let you know, we are your neighbor. Oh, wow, we just saw you guys came in. Like, oh, yeah. Please, in case you need anybody to help you in your house, call me. And I'll give you a simple fee. Really? You here, you're living here, and you want to work here? You want to clean? You want to garden? I started a gardening business within my neighborhood, sir. Do what you find. Don't do what you like. Do what you find. Am I doing gardening today? Say, you know me, I'm just waiting. Let them call me in NHS. When they call me in NHS, I'll start the work. Before NHS call you, go and do something else. In fact, when you start doing something, God now knows that you are serious. And what you are looking for will come to you. Parents, teach your young men and women to work with their hand. Don't give, don't just be giving and giving. Teach them. Teach them. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, he became a poor that dealeth with his slack hand. So you see, Even when you are slack, the Bible says you will lack. You can't pray against it. How can you sit down all day and the only title you claim, you say you are a what? Housewife. Now listen to me. Why that's not bad, that's not complete. If you read the Bible very well, the Bible always teaches that everybody should work. The Bible never teaches that people should stay idle. So please agree with the Bible. Your leg may not be working, but your brain is working. Somebody say, my brain is working. So use your brain. You will not lack. You will not lack. You will not lack. How does God bless? The rain of divine ideas. So watch out for ideas. Idea will come here. Idea will come there. What do? In the business world, they tell us that idea is a capital. That's what people do in the dragon's den. They take their idea there so that somebody can invest in it. You may not have the money, but you have the what? Idea. You can sell the idea and somebody will join you and then everything begins to move. Somebody say, I hear. So what do? Manage your idea. Write your idea. Are you catching that now? Monetize your idea. Don't let anybody steal your idea. It's part of the ring. God is giving you to shift you forward. You see a problem, God is giving you the idea for the solution. Prophet the solution. Prophet. I see God visiting us with ideas. So God blesses us through ideas. What else? God blesses us through divine favor. As we saw in the life of Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 1 to 4, verse 21 to 22. We'll touch on that very shortly. Before we pray. And lastly, God blesses us through priestly blessing. The blessing of the priest over our life. Genesis 14, verse 18 to 20. Melchizedek the priest blessed Abraham. And blessing kept speaking. Every blessing that comes upon you today will stick. Please somebody say a loud amen. Amen. Hebrews 7 and verse 7. And without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Believe the Lord your God. He said you shall be established. Believe his prophet. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20. He said you shall prosper. So when you believe the priest over you and you believe in the proclaimed blessings like many young people are doing today, they are going about their ways and they feel, well, I am blessed. I'm not saying you are not blessed. But you see this priestly blessing, nobody can bless himself. Nobody can bless himself. God have to use somebody. Hebrews 7 and verse 7. The less is blessed of the better. This is one of the things that God used to catapult me financially. As I kept seeking the face of God. Lord, the level of my finance, I don't like it. I want something that will shift. I don't want to depend on salary again. Take me from the place of salary. Many, many years ago, and the Lord, through the mouth of my mentor, said to me one day, who is blessing you? I said, what do you mean? Who is blessing you? And he showed me this scripture. The less is blessed. If you can open the tap of blessing through those who have gone ahead of you, you can't know limits. I give God praise. People of God, please connect with your priest. In other words, connect with the spiritual leaders that God has put in front of you. Honor them. Follow their instruction. You will be glad that you did. Say with me, my time of favor is now. Remember, God blesses you through his favor. Let's touch on that very quickly. And then we'll begin to pray. His favor. One way God blesses us is through favor. favor. And I want you to hold on to three things today that become the anchor of our teaching. What is favor? One, favor means unusual kindness. Two, unusual acceptance. Three, unusual access. Unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, and unusual what? Access. Is there on the screen? Please, what is favor? Unusual, unusual, and unusual. What's the first one? Second one, and the third one. First one, second one, and the third one. I know you have seen kindness before, but God's favor is unusual. Psalm 44 and verse 3. They got not the land by their own strength, but thy right hand, thy hand, the light of thy countenance, because thou had a favor upon them. That favor is coming on you. Please, somebody say a loud amen. I said that favor is coming on you. How can you tell of the children of Israel of 430 years of bondage? God said to them in Exodus 3 and verse 21, he said, I will give these people favor. And when they come out, they will not come out empty. When God favor you, emptiness is cured. Emptiness is cured. Somebody say amen to that. I say emptiness is cured. Somebody say amen to that. I say emptiness is cured. Somebody say amen to that. So as the favor of God is proclaimed upon your life, every form of emptiness is finally cured. We don't wait for favor. We provoke it. Isaiah 45, 12. We provoke it. How do I provoke favor? And we'll pray. One, be born again. Ephesians 2, 8. Psalm 5 and verse 12. There is a favor that God will only give to the righteous. Psalm 5, 12. Number two, engage your heart in panting after God and the interest of his kingdom. Psalm 102 verse 13 to 15. Number three, stay in the love of God. Romans 8, 28. For delight solemnly obey God's instruction from time to time. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 12. And finally, live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Live a lifestyle of praise. Thanking God always. God will always rub his favor upon you. Somebody say amen, I receive that. In Psalm 92 verse 1 to 2, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And in verse 10, it said, my horn shall be exalted like the horn of a unicorn, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. We had this king in Mark 6 verse 21 to 22 and 23. He came and he danced before his father. She danced very well. It's called Herodias' daughter. After she danced, the father asked him, he said, ask of me what will that I will give to you. In verse 23, he said, even to the half of my kingdom. That girl asked for the head of John the Baptist, and the dad gave it to him. Unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, and unusual what? Access. Rise up on your feet. Say with me, unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, unusual access. That's my portion from today. You want to say louder, unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, unusual access. What that means is that no door will be shut against you. Lord, bring me to this realm of favor. Unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, unusual access. Lift up your voice and pray. Wherever you are, lift up your voice and pray. Unusual kindness. Unusual acceptance. Unusual access. Please pray for yourself. Lord, bring me to this place of favor. I'm tired of the status quo. I desire unusual kindness. Unusual acceptance. That everywhere I go, people begin to accept me. And unusual access. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Please say louder, amen. Say with me, from today, I am entering my season of favor. We are going to anoint ourselves because it's going to be the channel God is going to be using. He called it the oil of favor. But I want to give room for somebody to accept Jesus. Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You are not saved, you are not born again. Please give us the privilege to pray for you. Why is that so? There is a favor that does not come on everybody. It's only for the righteous. That was what we saw in Psalm 5 and verse 12. Let's pray for you. Pastor, I want to join that righteous company. Except a man be born again, it can't be said to be a righteousness of God. You have to receive Christ in your life. Please, I don't know how you came to church, but I know how you can go if you can just release yourself for Jesus. Wherever you are, come towards the altar. We'll pray for you, and the Lord will bless you. Please, anywhere you are, it's not too far. I want you to be sincere. I know you have lived your life, but God is telling you, I want to connect. I want to change. We are waiting for you on this altar. Please, wherever you are, take a bold step. Young man, young woman, an elderly person, anywhere you are, Pastor, pray with me. Please come towards the altar. Let's pray for you. Come towards the altar. Church, clap your hands for Jesus. Let's encourage anyone. You want to come? Please come. 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 Church, clap your hands and they will come. Clap your hands. Let's encourage them to come. Let's encourage them. Please keep coming. Keep coming. And keep coming. Keep coming, keep coming, and keep coming. Jesus still saved today. Keep coming, and keep coming, and keep coming. As you come to the front, put your right hand on your chest. Let's pray for you. God bless you as you do. God bless you as you do. God bless you as you do. Church, clap your hands for them again. We're encouraging them. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Please place your right hand on your chest. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Please, it's not too far. You are not late. You can still meet us in the altar. Quickly come. So we pray for you. God bless you. Those of us in front, say with me, Lord Jesus. I cannot help myself. I need your forgiveness. I need your help. Wash me with your precious blood. Give me a new beginning. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, from today, give me the power to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. I pray for you right now. Grace that I brought you forward, that same grace will keep you. From today, the mark of this favor will now be upon your head, because you are now the righteousness of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. All the habits you have been struggling with, God will give you the power to now begin to overcome them. In Jesus' precious name. Please open your eyes. You're going to go with our kingdom friends over here. They will help you with the decision you have made. Please come and follow them, our pastors over here. God bless you. Church, clap your hands for them. Clap your hands for them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody say with me, unusual kindness. Get your bottle out. Unusual acceptance and unusual access in the name of Jesus. As we anoint ourselves today, if you have your oil, bring it out. We are praying right now, ministering. This oil shall be an oil of favor upon each and every one of us. The favor you have never known becomes your practical experience. Somebody will say a bigger amen. Please help me with your neighbor. Some of your neighbor may not have, but please, we plead with you. Keep coming with your bottles in the third Sunday. Don't forget. Keep coming. Keep coming with it. Hallelujah. Do you have it in your hand now? Say with me, as I anoint myself, this is my oil of favor for unusual kindness, for unusual access, and unusual acceptance. Beginning from today, favor becomes my portion. Misfortune is not my portion. I enjoy God's favor from now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus. Place the anointing upon your head and begin to pray for yourself. Yes. 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 A new dawn. a new day. In the name of Jesus. A new dawn. A new day. In the name of Jesus. A new dawn. A new day. In the name of Jesus. A new dawn. A new day. In the name of Jesus. A new dawn. A new day. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. If you can, wherever you are, we take a shot of this oil. Why do we do it? Hallelujah. Hold on this, please. Some of us, the things that are disturbing us are inside. That is the reason why we take a shot. So we're going to take a shot of the oil, and anything that may be inside us that is causing the trouble, particularly sickness and disease, by the power of God, they shall be flushed out. I didn't hear you say loud amen. So I want you to take a shot of this oil in faith, and sickness and disease will no longer be in your body. In Jesus' precious name. Please go ahead and do that. Cover your bottles and exalt his name by giving him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Is somebody saying a louder amen? This week shall be your week of unusual favor. Unusual favor. The anointing that have come upon you is the anointing for supernatural favor. No door shall be shut against you again. No limit in your destiny. Anyone under the sound of my voice that is plagued and a captive of any satanic affliction, that affliction leaves your body right now. You are free in the name of Jesus. You are free in the name of Jesus. Where they said no, they will say yes. Where they said no, they will say yes. Where they said no, they will say yes. From today, the doors are open unto you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have received. Somebody receive that with a louder amen. I want you to shout it and let the devil know. Say it with me. From this week, I enter my season of favor. Louder, you come. From this week, I enter my season of favor. In Jesus' precious name. Let's welcome those who are here for the very first time. Those who are here for the very first time, please come to the altar so we can pray for you quickly and bless you with the blessings of the Lord. Church, clap your hands for them as they come. Let's pray for them before they go. As we get ready to shut down, thank you, Father. Father, we give you thanks. Please keep coming, church. Clap your hands for them. Thank you, Jesus. Church, you can sit. Why they come? Just take your seat. Why they come? God bless you. Keep coming. Church, let's clap and more and just receive them. Hallelujah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. To win us trouble. Your life will not remain the same. In Jesus' name.
To all of our first timers, we welcome you to God's house. We welcome to the Winners Chapel International, Birmingham, the home of signs and wonders. We want you to know you are not here by coincidence. God have led your feet here. And God who led your feet here will give you a change of story experience. In the name of Jesus Christ. We want to pray for you because we believe in what God can do. That's why we called you to the altar. If you bow your hands, we'll pray for you as we agree with you. Lord, look at the people that you brought in our midst. You have never allowed people to seek you in vain. Father, we pray that angels step into their life. Heavens step into their life. And let things begin to turn in the positive as you give them their miracles and their change of story experience. we will hear good news from them. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Please open your eyes. You're going to go with our kingdom friends. They are just here holding the placard. You are welcome. Please go with them. They will reach out to you. We'll give you some of the things from the church already. And we'll be hearing your testimony. Church, clap your hands for them. Clap your hands for them. Please, when you get back home, you're anointing your homes. Anoint the document and just declare, it's my season of good news, good news, good news. Next Sunday is our new dawn banquet. God gave us a word in the first service that every one of us will return with our thanksgiving next week. How many of you believe that? Are you sure? So tell your neighbor, I am returning with my own thanksgiving next week. So what that means is that this week will not be empty for you. Would you say a louder amen? Please familiarize yourself with all the announcements we have made this week. We are very intense in what we are doing. Make sure you are fully engaged. Don't be left out. Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, we are all out. Saturday, we have Central Mass Outreach at the city center. Make sure you are part of it. Don't miss out. Once we share the goodness, all our youth, please go to the Teens Church. We have your special youth service. Make sure you are part of it. And Friday, the family life, make sure you are also part. All the parents and all family people, please, this Friday, let's see you. This Friday, let's see you. We're going to be talking about how you balance and particularly fortune in the family. How do you advance fortune in a family as husband and wife? It will be a great time in God's presence. Rise up on your feet. Give God thanks. If you have received anything at all, magnify His name. Bless His name. Begin to thank God for what your week holds.
We believe you were blessed by this sermon. For more messages like this, you can join us at Winners Chapel International, Birmingham. Call us on 0121-622-1662 or email us at info.birmingham@winners-chapel.org. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms. God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again next time. Jesus is Lord.